Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In 2 to 3 weeks, the early Sterling...
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In 2 to 3 weeks, the early storyline that we'll be talking about is, when is Cam Newton getting that extension? Cam Newton, comeback player of the year. Can they keep up with Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC? So if, and it's a big if Cam Newton stays healthy, I love this match. And more importantly, moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN, believing that a Cam Newton extension could be talked about in coming weeks, and that Cam Newton could be the quarterback for 3, 4, 5 years. Cam's going to be comeback player of the year. The Patriots are going to compete. Can they compete with the Chiefs? Can they compete with Baltimore? A lot of positivity there in that clip from Mike Tannenbaum. But let's start with the Cam conversation on the money. Bert, should he get an adjustment? And if he plays well in the first 2 or 3 weeks, should the team be talking about an extension?
I don't know if I'd want to make a decision that quickly on whether or not he's the long-term answer. But, you know, if you've got a good feeling about what he can be for the next 4 or 5 years, it might make sense to get in front of it. You know, maybe like on your bye week or something like that, start to talk about what it would look like if you were going to extend him. And I think what's really positive about the situation that they're in right now with Cam is that I think for 2020 and for the circumstances that everyone's facing, Cam's the perfect guy to bring in as a new quarterback. And the bonus to that is that he could be your long-term answer if the foot is healed, if the shoulder's okay, like if he's capable of being the quarterback he was, not even 5 years ago when he won the MVP, the quarterback he was 2 years ago at the start with Norv Turner in 2018, the first half of that season, like maybe you look at him and say to yourself, okay, like this could be a long-term answer for us. And I don't know, the way I look at that position, guys, is like you have to take as many shots as you possibly can to get it right. And I think, you know, in bringing in Cam Newton, a guy who's got that kind of high-end talent, you are throwing a dart at the idea of getting it right long-term. I don't know if he's going to be the long-term answer, but I think the potential is there.
Tannenbaum, what's going on with him and his love for New England? I mean, just what, a month ago, he said they get the best running back core in the league. and over the top adulation.
Maybe it's PTSD. I mean, he was in.
Is Casario leaving and we don't know? Is Casario leaving and we don't know?
I'm not a yoga person.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah. Oh, you're not a yoga
person. Hi.
What?
Who's not a yoga person?
Who's that?
I mean, he's got a pretty good idea of what it's like to compete against
Tony. Stop swearing.
Something just popped up on my Instagram. I don't even know what it was.
Okay. What happened?
Could Bert not hear that? Maybe Bert couldn't hear that on his end.
Maybe not.
There was a clip that played that said, I'm not a yoga person.
I heard that. Like I did hear that. What was that?
It's playing off of Hardy's computer.
I don't know. Something on my computer.
What's going on in your Instagram? Totally
somebody who's not a yoga person, I don't know.
Maybe he's watching someone doing yoga. Who knows?
Yeah. Everybody's got their preferences, you know?
Is that Kennedy Stidham?
It's like fetish porn. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like to watch people talk about how they don't exercise.
You know, Odell Beckham likes his sorts of things.
Hardy goes to legacy places. It's outside Lululemon.
No.
Anyway, I don't know where we were. Where were we?
I'm Jerry Nicole right outside Lululemon.
Bert, you mentioned something about travel that you didn't think it would be that much of a deal, big a deal that people thought it was going to be. What did you mean by that?
Well, these guys aren't like, you know, they're not like the Patriots aren't going to be like schlepping through Logan next week.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like it's and I think baseball was more challenging because those road trips, like those guys are on the road for 7-10 days at a time. That's a lot of time to fill. You know, there's a lot of time for things to go wrong. These football road trips, if you're playing a 1 o'clock game and Zoe, you can kind of give the itinerary, but
that's
like
awful.
A 1 o'clock game, you're like you're getting to the stadium at probably 2 p.m. and you're getting back on a plane in Buffalo at 6 p.m. the next day. Like you're on the ground. And like
the Buffalo trip's usually like 18 hours tops.
Yeah.
Like
right.
You're in and out.
I mean, that's the thing is like, so it's, you know, you get on the plane and the plane is obviously a charter and it's been cleaned and there's going to be all these new regulations on the planes themselves. You fly to the new city, you fly to the other city, you get the bus picks you up on the tarmac. That bus, again, there are cleaning regulations now related to all of this in the NFL.
Right.
The bus takes you to the hotel. You go to the hotel. You have dinner. You have meetings. You go to bed. You wake up. You go to the stadium. You're playing the game. And TSA is literally like in the stadium.
Right.
Like you're going through
as
TSA
always,
at
yep.
the stadium and onto the bus, back onto the tarmac, and you fly home. So I don't think – and now, look, like there's different – like, you know, if you're going, you know, East Coast to West Coast to East Coast, there's a few more variables. You're in the other city for a little longer. But, I don't know that travel is going to be this huge problem, especially with all, like, the new fail-safes that have been put in place. Like, the NFL – I don't know if you guys know this. Like, you can be fined right now. Like Zoe, you could get fined for going and using the treadmill at the hotel. Do you know that?
Yes. You're not allowed to basically leave your room at the hotel if you're with the travel party.
Correct. Right. Like
can't go to the restaurant. Can't get in at the Lyft. Can't get in a cab.
Right. There are all of these different rules if you're part of the traveling party. So, you know, I don't know that there's a great amount of risk with NFL travel to begin with because the trips are so short and everything's so secure. But on top of that, there are all these different rules. I mean, there are rules about ventilation on the plane. Like, so I don't know that travel is going to create this whole new issue that didn't exist before.
Bert, this week we saw a contract get handed out to the quarterback. I shouldn't say handed out. That makes it sound like he didn't earn it. The contract that was signed for Deshaun Watson in Houston. To me, when I see that contract, and I know that there's been a little bit of friction there in that organization, you could speak to it better than we can. I immediately looked at it and said, well, Deshaun Watson is the guy they're committed to. That's smart. They should be. And he will outlast Bill O'Brien there. He's going to be the guy that they hitch the wagon to going forward, not their head coach.
Well, and look, I think Bill O'Brien believes in Deshaun Watson. I can tell you that for a fact. Like, there's a belief in that organization. What you saw, though, and this is since Jack Easterby got there, right, a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, that organization, like, they're becoming very New England-ish in that they are valuing certain things more than they did before and they have over the last year. And you look at who they've paid, right? It's not just Deshaun Watson. It's Laremy Tunsil. It's Nick Martin. It's Bernardrick McKinney. It's Zach Cunningham. And what do these guys all have in common? They all play like in the tackle box, right? And they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney and they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, who, like, from a personality standpoint, didn't really fit into what they were trying to do. And so if you look at the way that they've spent, like, there's a very specific thing that they're looking for. Now, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but, you know, I think you can see, like, it was already a New England type of program under Billy the first 5 years there. I think this has sort of kicked it into overdrive where, like, the whole building is sort of like Foxborough South now.
All right. Anything else for Bert? So
the Jackie Easterby stuff's just it's a head scratcher to me.
Yeah.
Like he's
crazy. I mean, it is
he's calling
crazy.
Shots down there. You know, it's
weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a different setup. No
I
question.
Hear they love him at Patriot Place. Yeah. Big fans of him.
I mean, you run fast. You catch the ball the way DeAndre Hopkins does. I mean, that's a guy on my team.
The weird thing about the Jack Easterby thing is, though, if you talk to people who worked with him in New England,
yeah,
they were all like a little fearful of him. Like he was an agent of Bill.
They didn't know what he was. Like, they didn't know what he was.
But then they loved him too. You know what I mean? Like it's this weird thing where it was like, I'm like a little worried. Is he monitoring me or whatever?
Was he a big part of DeAndre Hopkins getting the boot there? Was he a big part of that?
He was a piece of it. Yeah. Well, I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins, there were a lot of things. There was the money that was a piece of it. There was the fact that he didn't practice, but like once a week, most weeks, which was an issue. And then there were some, you know, things that kind of, there were other things outside of the building.
The baby mamas that we hear that Bill O'Brien didn't like.
There were just some off-field things that were being managed there that they didn't want to manage anymore. I'll put it that way.
All right. I'd manage it is what I would say. if I were them, I'd find
a way to manage it.
Yeah, I'd figure out a way to manage it. I know Easterby's a very religious guy, but hey, Easterby, deal with it. Deal with it, dude. Oh, my God. Most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. All right, Bert, great to see you.
See you, Bert.
Great to talk to you again. Football season is back.
All right, thanks, guys. Looking forward to the whole year with you.
All right, Bert Breer from his home.
This Zoom thing with him can be really good.
It is good. It just went well for an hour plus.
We're not like over top of each other.
It's great.
It's normal.
It's excellent. It was a great hour with Bert. We were happy to have him. Right. We've got more to get to. Again, that Mike Tannenbaum clip on Cam Newton. Should he get restructured? Should he get a bump? Should he get an extension? All of that. We've got that. Also, some other Bruins stuff we hit on today, and we'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The former QB always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Them sleep on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ratzing.
Live version, are you? Is this a regular in rotation now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
James!
Oh, let this play.
There's your steel drums, though.
This was in the BCN library, correct?
I'm sure, yeah.
Was this on an album?
No, it was probably a B-side.
I used to be playing a pregame at the old Foxborough Stadium.
Not the live version.
No.
I remember when we started the Sports Hub and we had, I don't know, we don't still have the BCN library, do we? That's long gone. We still had the BCN library. We had it for years. Yeah. The one thing I pulled from the library was that song.
Huh.
That's the one thing I ever was like, oh, I got to get that because BCN used to play it. Yeah, that was it. All right.
Rockin' Boston.
That's a good one. Good. Good call there, Hardy.
Here we go. The live version from Kettle Whistle interpolates the two versions of the original recording and blah, 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 opening with the extended bongo introduction over Perry Farrell's scat vocals before abruptly shifting to steel drum one measure before the starting the verse. So it's Kettle Whistle. You can find that.
Get the old steel drum. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
617-779-0985. We've not taken any calls today to this point. And we have one waiting on Cam Newton, so let's get to that. Nelson in Brookline. Hi, Nelson.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to make a quick question and thought and see what you thought about this. So what is the general consensus of the defense of the Pats? Is it going to be good or bad, right?
Great.
It's going to be good.
Secondary, mediocre front seven.
It's up in the air.
Okay.
That's my guess. Okay. I don't know.
They should be pretty good, though. They should be pretty good defensively.
Okay, but everybody's been saying essentially that they're expected to be pretty good. So, and you guys have been saying that.
I don't know that everyone is expecting that, Nelson. Quite frankly, they have a great secondary.
He just answered what we think the general consensus is, so you can't change the answer to fit whatever narrative you're about to go with.
Nelson, I don't think that's the consensus that they have a great defense. I think they have a good defense their secondary is spectacular. It's going to be great.
Okay, so let's stick with the secondary. So, Kevin's performances against the defense itself, though, has been, let's say, lackluster, right? So if that defense, if our secondary is going to be so good, isn't that a testament that, you know, he might actually do better against the other defenses that he sees because of the challenges that he's facing? Maybe not?
From what I've been told, it's the second, third, and fourth corners that were eating the lunch of the receivers.
Oh, good.
which takes J.C. Jackson and Stephon Gilmore and Jonathan Jones completely out of the picture, that they've been D'd up by guys like Bethel and company. And it's a testament to them that they've improved because they're good special teams guys. But now they're so loaded at corner.
So Jo'Wan Williams was out there dominating against the Patriots starters?
That's what I've been told. Yeah.
It's listed as third string.
I would not read the depth charts. Depth charts don't mean anything.
Not second string, not number two of the second string, third string.
So yeah. Jo'Wan Williams is now a third string player according to that depth chart you're telling me.
Yeah.
45th overall pick.
But I think he's the type of guy you could see in week one here that they would bring down and match him up with a guy like Gesicki, the 6'6" tight end.
Can I bring up a question?
Because you don't have Chung. Go ahead.
That I couldn't really get off my mind after our conversation yesterday about expectations and what people will think of the team. And we talked to Bert about what's the league think of the Patriots.
Right.
And we yesterday spent a lot of time calling it a rebuilding year.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I can't stop thinking about. If they have multiple guys on their roster that they've used high picks on, and Williams certainly fits into that category of a year ago, as does N'Keal Harry, does a bunch of people. If those draft picks don't turn out to be any good, what are they rebuilding? You know what I mean? Like, if all these picks don't work out, what are you building for next year?
Right.
My thought is that you got to develop in a year like this. You've got to get younger players that get a lot better, take coaching, that improve, that get from being a college player to being really ready for the NFL. If that doesn't happen, they didn't rebuild crap this year.
Hey, you've given up some of those high picks, too, to take flyers on guys like Coney Ealy back in the day, Mohamed Sanu. your second-round pick there, that should be a good player right there for you.
Can we stop with the Coney Ealy nonsense? They dropped down eight spots in the draft to get Coney Ealy. They gave up a second-round pick, but they got a third-round pick back. I'm so sick of hearing that they gave up a second-round pick for Coney Ealy.
They gave up a second-round pick for him.
But they got a third back eight picks later.
Yeah. Who was that? Who did they pick?
I don't even know. I'll have to go look. Okay. But it's not like they gave up a second-rounder only. Right. The Sanu thing is legit.
Massive expectations for that guy to come here and play well.
Sanu thing is legit. I'm far more interested in... Okay, so they made a trade and Coney Ealy didn't work out. Who did they draft with that pick? Like, did that guy work out? Maybe he worked out.
Dominic Easley over the years. They've taken flyers on at first, second round, third type picks that just haven't panned out for them that should be good core players by now. Rozai Dowling.
So I think for it to be a rebuilding year, Kyle Duggar can't suck.
Who's the kid from Stanford? I already forgot his name. He can't cover.
Josh Uche can't suck. Like, he has to turn into a player.
Yeah.
And, the tight ends. There's two of them, Asiasi and Keen.
Bentley better last 16
games. One of those guys has to become a real player for this to be a rebuilding year that means something. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, if not, if you get to next year and Isaiah Wynn is still a bust and Sony Michel's knee is shot and Jo'Wan Williams turns out to be another second-round secondary pick that didn't work out, I don't know. I don't know what you rebuilt. Mm. You're just there. I mean, you're sort of in the same spot you are now.
Yep.
And you can't keep going on with this receiver group year to year. They've got to get that thing sorted out. They've got to.
So they traded back. They were at 64 in the second round.
Okay.
They traded back to 72.
Yes. And then what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So they got Coney Ealy in 72.
Okay.
For 64.
Okay. What'd they do with 72?
They traded it.
For what?
For 83 and 124.
Okay. Who'd they take with those picks?
83 was Derek Rivers.
Okay. All right. He has not lived up to expectations to this point.
He's still around.
But if healthy, you know, this is one of the big question marks on this year's team. Can Derek Rivers be what we always hoped Derek Rivers could be? Coaches love him. He's shown some great flashes in camp, but injuries have plagued him. If he can live up to the hype, well, then that would be a good part of the year. That would be a great story about this team. Derek Rivers finally becoming a player.
We're still following the crumbs. They traded 124.
Four?
We're moving down.
It's like, how do you figure that thing out? It looks like Jake in Boston's, you know, bulletin board. Trying to draw the lines.
Strings from one thing and post-it notes.
To that one.
Yeah.
That pick turned into 14 more picks. Mm. It's like if you ask someone, what did they get for Jimmy Garoppolo? They basically got five first rounders. No, they didn't. That's all. It's like, what are you rebuilding? 617-779-0985.
What'd you get for Garoppolo? I don't know, but it all leads back to who was riding Linda's Peloton. That's how you get there.
In 2017.
In 2017.
So they packaged 124 with pick 96 to get up to 85, and they drafted Antonio Garcia.
Oh, God.
He did not work out.
No.
No. That didn't work.
Nope. So do you think they would have actually made that pick at that 64 or probably traded out?
Traded out.
If they traded out at 72?
They would have traded out.
Yeah.
They would have traded out.
And they probably would have drafted Derek Rivers and Antonio Garcia, because those are two guys they wanted to draft.
I don't want to get caught up in all the minutia of all these little trades. Are you hitting on your high picks or not?
Well, you know, when you have a negative Patriot guy like Zoe trying to sell these trades as worse than they are.
It's incredible. I don't know what happened to Zoe overnight, but he's turned into a very cynical, critical a Patriots analyst, which
nine and seven at their worst, 10-6 at their best.
I like how that window.
10-6,
that window is a
year.
Very tight window for you.
Do you know what that is to me?
Worst case scenario, 9-7.
You've got to account for You've got to account for injury. Someone's going to get hurt.
So worst case scenario could be like 8-8, or you could make it 6-10. I mean, you could go a lot of different ways.
I find it hard to believe a Belichick coach team would be below 8-8.
I find it hard that a Belichick team would be worse than, let's say, 7-9. Like, yeah. They've got seven wins in them there somewhere.
You know who was sandwiched in between Derek Rivers and Antonio Garcia? Pick 84.
Who?
Tom just found it. Chris Godwin.
Oh. See any good, Zoe? What do you think about him?
He's really good.
Is he gonna, how many catches will he have this year?
Between 60 and 70.
In that same range was Kareem Hunt.
Probably at about
Kenny Galladay.
Probably about 14 yards per catch. Yeah. Be a good year for him.
Oh, you think he's going to have a good year?
Probably double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah. Oh, double-digit touchdowns.
He'll have more touchdowns than Evans.
Wow.
What about Gronk?
Wow. Gronk will be, he's not going to put up huge numbers, but he'll be effective.
Actually, good projection. 9 touchdowns Godwin had last year. You throw Brady into the mix. He could have double digits.
Something tells me quarterback likes him better than Evans.
I'd find out what the odds are on that prop bet, and someone tells you Brady likes Godwin better than Evans. Oh, interesting.
Likes Evans a lot. Thinks the ceiling is with Godwin, though. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, Tampa update.
How's the tight end looking in Tampa?
Phenomenal.
How do you know? You haven't been there.
I haven't been there.
You haven't seen or hearing things?
Talk to more people down there.
More of a people. Small people in Tampa. So the tight end looks good.
I can't believe this happened.
That's going to be your team this year, isn't it? That's what it is. Zoe's just prepping himself to be a Tampa Bay Bucks fan.
We have to get the car running. Hopefully we'll be able to park on the west side, get out there, and we'll be able to catch a 4 o'clock game when we get home.
I got to worry about the parking lots now on the way back.
Look at this.
Right out.
Zoe's more concerned about his traffic patterns post-game.
No, I have fifth quarter. I'll be doing fifth quarter still.
For the Bucks.
I wrap up the 1 o'clock game at
fifth
quarter.
Do we have the Bucks on television locally this weekend?
Oh, yes. Yes. National game.
I mean, it's a 4 o'clock game, right?
It's a national 4 o'clock. Fox. It's Fox's national 4:30.
It's going to be a great day of football on Sunday.
It'll be a hell of a day of football.
Watch the Pats.
Who's the night game?
Cowboys Rams.
Don't talk to me on Sunday. Just stay away from me.
Done.
This is great football for apple picking. Pick your own apple. Go buy a pie, pre-made pie. Star Market. I went through there today. They got bags of apples all lined up.
No need to do the apple picking. No apple picking for Zoe.
Already picked.
We mentioned Tuukka Rask earlier.
For walk around and pick apples.
Don Sweeney had some thoughts on Tuukka Rask, saying he has no hesitation or reservations or anything other than Tuukka's back, baby. We discussed that earlier.
Oh, what a relief.
He also had some comments about Zdeno Chara and Torrey Krug.
Ooh.
And also, what could Jake DeBrusk be looking for in his next contract? Why don't we
goals?
Do a little more, do a little Bruins segment before we talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steve, I haven't had a conversation subsequent to when Tuukka left. We checked up on him to make sure he and his family are doing well, and all reports are that they are indeed doing well. I have zero reservations about where Tuukka will be, both on and off the ice for us. We feel we've had good, strong goaltending the last couple of years. We've done a good job of mapping out the health of both players and preserving when they're at their best. We continue to want to do that going forward, and I think we're in a really good spot with our goaltending.
Don Sweeney on his goalie, Tuukka Rask.
I think Sweeney sounds like when he goes out to eat.
I like the 20-ounce strip steak with a side of cream spinach, and the kids were about to order extra maraschino cherries in the fuzzy navels. I'd like to have some French fries with that too, please. Thank you. Go ahead, Cam. What do you want to order? Please. Thank you. Yeah. Make sure Pasternak's not drinking everything. Just keep an eye on him, please.
Tuukka Rask's agent today, Marcus Lehto, said there have been no discussions that he would not be returning. That's discussions he had with his client.
Of course, you don't establish any doubt.
Tuukka Rask. So his agent,
good job by the agent,
saying, I'm back in, I'm playing, yeah, he's ready to go. There's no talks of retirement. Yep. There's no talks of anything other than coming back and playing for the Bruins next season. The
Bruins are ready.
It sounds like the Bruins are saying the same thing.
Full steam ahead,
now,
baby.
The Bruins could be posturing. Mm-hmm. They could be just keeping things publicly looking good for a potential trade of Tuukka Rask. That could be part of the strategy. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But the Bruins have been very supportive of Tuukka Rask, and the thing I just can't get on board with is that Sweeney said there were just zero reservations, he said, about Rask. None. That's just impossible. You must have some reservations. You must be worried about, you know, his commitment to playing, and you must be worried about how did teammates perceive his departure from the bubble, and how are they going to accept him back into the room next year? There's got to be some reservations, even if you're admitting your best option at goalie next year is Rask.
I wonder if he speaks for Cam Neely on that, too.
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. Hey, do you speak for Cam Neely on that?
That'd be a good question.
I thought you were going to do the Sweeney voice.
I don't know. You have to talk to Cam on that one. I haven't spoken to Cam. You know, we came back. We had our wrap-up meetings. The guys did the physicals, cleared a bunch of those guys. Went out and played some golf with some of the guys, and now let's get away from it for a little bit. We're right back, jump back right into this here.
All right, let's get to the other Sweeney sound we haven't played yet.
Yeah.
He had comments on both Chara and Krug, correct, Jim?
Yeah, good, but 6'9" Russian.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You want Chara first?
Yeah, sure. Chara, please.
Thank you.
Well, Danny, obviously I saw the report, and we're scheduling Zoom meetings with all of our players in the upcoming weeks. We've taken a little bit of time to step away from being away as a group. To allow people to catch their breath. We've started pro meetings, going to meet with the coaches this week, had internal discussions organizationally. So I think we're kind of checking some boxes that we need to, and then we're going to start to address on an individual player level. And I respect Zdeno's comments. You know, he's been an iconic player for us, important player for us. And, you know, we're going to explore our opportunity with he and our other players that have either our UFA or RFA status and hopefully check out the boxes like we have with several other players.
That is Don Sweeney talking about Zdeno Chara. And the report he's talking about is Chara saying publicly this week that he wants to continue playing and he wants to continue playing for the Boston Bruins.
On to where Boston, yes.
That is what he's responding to.
Yeah.
To which I say that is the most non-committal the Bruins have ever been on Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, I don't
what
think
you just heard.
Chara couldn't have been more clear in his commentary as to where he wanted to go and if he still had the heart and desire to play. Those boxes that he checked were yes, yes, yes. Want to stay in Boston? I love Boston.
Based on that clip,
volley,
I hear it.
Back in the middle. Ball knocked back in the middle of the court.
I don't feel like Don Sweeney is eager to check the Zdeno Chara on the 2020-2021 Bruins.
Well, when your job is to put a team together and you sit there and you watch how your team was eliminated and you sit there and you review the film. Honestly, when you're team building, what do you think they think about Chara at this stage of his career?
Now, he said there are zero reservations
on the
about
honesty
Tuca.
Meter.
Does it sound like he has reservations about Chara?
Yes.
It sounds like there are reservations there. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's very non-committal from Don Sweeney. What about another free agent, and that would be Torrey Krug?
Oh.
Well, we haven't found a landing spot. Listen, I respect Torrey. His supporters from day one when we were recruiting as a free agent, the impact he's made in our hockey club. And I would hope that I'll make the moves to be able to accommodate what he and his family and agent feel he has earned.
Okay,
and,
stop for a second. When somebody talks about the historical impact of the player, and they go back to, well, remember when we first got him here early, it's – you're starting to give your appreciation for what he's meant from beginning to end, and it's sort of an ending. That's the way I take that.
I take
Not,
it as
hey,
more of the same.
I can't wait to talk to him again.
I take it as more of the same, which is the, hey,
it's a char answer to me.
It's a back and forth because you're still trying to leverage each other, and you're trying to, save face.
That's a good point.
Yeah, a wall of, if it's time to move on. You're trying to get him to agree to what you want to pay him.
I agree.
And he's trying to move you to what he wants to get paid. So I wouldn't say that. Listen, if I listen to those two things, you tell me, who's got a better chance of returning the Bruins just based on the comments? Is it Chara or is it Krug?
Krug.
That's what I would say. Hardy?
I listened to the rest of the clip.
There's more I need to hear?
Yeah.
There's more?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would be the last person to begrudge any player trying to make the best decision for they and their family. And in a perfect world, it's with us. But, we know that the world is anything but perfect right about now. So, again, I don't have an update on any individual contract level. Torrey's personal voice, he's entitled to say whatever the hell he feels he wants to say. You guys know me well enough that I'm not going to comment publicly on any different contract negotiations. And other than hoping to find a landing spot when I have good players and people that I feel are important to our organization, and Torrey is such.
I think you're just getting nervous.
Yeah, I'm real nervous.
I think that's standard GM speak when you're trying to hammer out a deal.
What his agent and family feels he deserves, and he can say whatever the hell he wants. In a perfect world, we give him that, but this is far from a perfect world.
Yeah, we're not.
Does that sound like a deal is imminent?
No, definitely not. I think the Bruins are standing their ground on what they believe he's worth, and they're going to tell him, "Listen, if you think you're worth X, we think you're worth Y. Why don't you go test the market?"
Interesting.
Well, I think that's one of these situations where you say, "Hey, we want you back. This is what we're willing to pay. Well, you go to the market, see if you can get better."
Let me spare you the suspense. If he goes to the market, he's going to get more than what the Bruins are going to pay him.
Bingo. Yeah, that's true,
and he knows that. It's not a question of being right and nailing the market on this one. They're going to offer him probably something south of seven, more like six a year for 7 years. They're going to try and get him here on a $42 million deal. He's going to go somewhere and make 50.
Do you know what I would say?
What?
If that's the case, all right, they're going to have to make do without Torrey Krug.
There were some real lean years here when the defensive core was depleted. And things were not looking good for the Bruins. And they had some, I didn't even want to call it a hit and miss with Dougie Hamilton, but he didn't fit here.
Dougie.
You had issues with your defensive pairings for a couple few years here, and it did not go well. It it's too important to this team. What can I say? Of course, there's a stopping point in how much you're willing to spend for a player like that, but he's too important to be blasé about it and say, well, you know, if you can't play here, you can't play here. They can't afford. No, they need to figure out a way to make it.
We can pick this up in the 1 o'clock hour. We are going to talk to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics have game 6 of their series coming up tonight against the Toronto Raptors after a big win in game 5. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, joining us from inside the bubble in Orlando. Celtics head coach Brad Stevens is here. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How's that walk going?
Safe.
You're not on it today, are you?
I am on it.
Oh, you are? Good.
It. There's some people who I don't know who they are. Maybe some game ops people or something like that throwing a baseball back and forth. First time I've seen baseball mitts and throwing a baseball. There's a look, 3 people throwing it to each other. That's kind of fun.
That's probably all those other people that they let in the bubble of families. You know, you guys are only getting 10.
Oh,
you know?
Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. Zoe's on a roll today.
No, I think these are probably, I'm guessing they work for the NBA or in game operations. You know, we've got a ton of people here that are doing the game operations, and, you know, obviously everybody sees the officials, the players, the staff, but there's a lot of other people here. So anything that people can do outside, I think, is a welcome thing. So it's cool to see. I may have to go get in there.
Huh. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the NBA's policy. We know what you said yesterday.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that.
But do you have plans to get your family into the bubble at some point?
And then
the phone cut out?
And then he hung up on us.
Oh wait, you cut out.
I can't go in it. we have a lot of decisions to make today to try to play well. So I'll just stay there.
Okay. All right.
And so has the walk around the pond become kind of like a pregame superstition?
No. Hey, when you lose 57 games your first year, like I lost 57 games my first year in Boston. Your superstitions are all gone.
Like, okay.
Ties, no ties, you know, matching socks, not, you know, you're trying 2 left shoes. You do whatever you can to try to figure out. And then you realize, you know what? It's not about superstition. So this is an everyday thing, game or not. And, it's what I do to pass the time. Otherwise, I just sit in my hotel room all day and watch stuff I've already watched. So it's a great way, actually, as you guys all know, exercise is a great way to kind of clear your mind, get to feeling good and get ready for tonight. It's funny because you see, I've said this before, but you see all the coaches and everybody's out here at some point during the day anyways.
Hey, Coach, what ticked you off the most in games 3 and 4 that made you guys come out? What adjustments did you make for game 5 to where you put it on them the way you did to set up this game 6 tonight?
Well, I just think we wanted to play well. You know, we didn't play well in game 4. They had a lot to do with that. Game 3 was a heartbreaker. That's obvious.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to bounce back from that stuff. But, like, I think at the end of the day, that's just part of it. Like, the playoffs are super hard and – you know, I said this yesterday, until you're in this arena and you see all that these guys have to, like, balance with how hard they're playing, you know, how much they're thinking about going into every game and playing the same team
you know, for us, this will be the seventh time we've played Toronto, and we played them once in the seeding games and five games here in the playoffs. I mean, that's just a great challenge. I mean, and this is a championship mentality team, right? Like, they're, you know, Lowry is a total winner. You know, Van Fleet puts you on your heels the whole game. Siakam is an all-star and puts you on your heels. And then I think the thing that people just haven't talked about probably enough with Toronto all year is it's like Gasol, Ibaka, Powell, you know, those guys, Ananobi's killed us in this series. Those guys are all really, really good players. So their depth is good. They're so every night is going to take everything you have. And so that's the – we understand that. And I think we've given a great effort for the most part in this series. I thought game four, we got down on ourselves. And, you know, maybe if we have to go through that to learn that we can bounce back when we're down on ourselves, maybe that's a good thing down the road. But, you know, you got to get down the road first. And tonight's going to be quite a challenge. You know, with three wins in this series and the champions coming at you.
It has been said in the last couple of days that Kemba Walker was a big part of pulling the guys together ahead of game five the other night. Kemba all year talked about how he hadn't yet played in the NBA playoffs and how he was, you know, striving to get there and experience that. Has he learned anything new about himself, or have you as his coach learned anything new about Kemba now that he is playing in this environment?
That's a shocking headline, right? That Kemba Walker would be a great leader, like pull people together when things aren't going well. No, I think obviously, yeah, he's unbelievable. The thing that I would say about Kemba that stands out more than anything else, I think he enjoys everything about this. Like, I think he enjoys getting knocked to the mat in game three and having to get everybody in a room and get everybody rallied back together. I think he enjoys when we came up short in game four with the way we played and saying now we have to be able to put that behind us, be resilient and show, you know, the best of ourselves. And then I think, you know, he enjoys the challenge of being down and coming back, and he embraces the challenge of being up and maintaining a lead. Like, that dude just loves to play basketball, and he is, yeah, his personality is special. Let's put it that way.
So I know that you've been a participant at the Sloan Analytics Conference before, and analytics is
That was the year we lost 57 games. They never invited me back.
Well,
they knew I wasn't going to be busy in April. They just said, why don't you come speak this year? We can't find anyone else.
Well, whether it's that, participating in an event like that, or we just know how widespread analytics and statistical analysis are in sports now. But I would say at the Sloan Analytics Conference, sometimes it's hard to find people that believe in clutch. And I don't know that we've ever asked you this, but do you believe in there being the clutch gene, if you will? Because I think a lot of people, myself included, I look at Kemba Walker and say, that guy's clutch. I mean, when the biggest things are on the line, when you're in the final moments of a game, that guy doesn't break under the pressure of it. So do you believe in clutch?
My question back to any of those people would be, do they believe in willpower?
Right? Some of them may say no. Those guys.
Fine. That's as I heard Bill Walton say one time on the air in the 90s, when his partner, I think it was Snapper Jones, he made a comment, and Bill Walton said, that's interesting but wrong. And that's the way I would feel about that.
That's pretty good.
So we use that line a lot. Interesting, but wrong. No, what? I think the guys, he's got willpower. Like, he just has a will. He's competitive. But you know what? So does Kyle Lowry. So does Jason Tatum. So does Fred VanVleet. So does Ananobi. So does Jaylen Brown. Like, Marcus Smart, obviously. Like, this is why this level is special. This is why, we don't get caught up in all the other stuff where, you know, people don't realize how special the level is. And that's why I think it's so important to stay in the moment, do what you do best. There is such thing as a hot hand. There is such thing as clutch, just because I think there's a willpower part of it and there's a confidence part of a hot hand. You know, and I think that those are things that I think analytics are, you know, obviously I've believed strongly in all that you can gain by preparing to win at the very, at the margins, right? And at the same time, man, you need that stuff, the competitiveness, the intangible, all that stuff a lot more right now.
I got to ask you, you mentioned the bubble, and you keep bringing up the bubble, and you talk about the hot hand. A lot of people talking about Milwaukee this and Giannis. And there's that Miami team that's already punched their ticket, and I know you got a lot of respect for them. But does that make your team more anxious to get at it tonight so you could, in essence, punch your ticket tonight?
No, control what you can control. Focus on Toronto. That's all we're talking about. That's all we're thinking about.
Okay.
And and impose your will, because yes, that is clutch. I like that. I never heard it put that way before, but in basketball, you can do that. It's more of a conversation in other sports, but if you can impose your will, that can translate to clutch. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and I think it's an easy thing for you guys and me to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder to do it to Kyle Lowry. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's out there too.
So if they come back to the bench tonight, they say, Coach, I tried to impose my will, but it's Kyle Lowry, so he wouldn't let me.
No, that's why, for me, and I think Scott would agree with this, you know, when you see the great football games or the great basketball games or two teams that are evenly matched, to me, that just means, like, there's not an effort issue. There's not a willpower issue. It's just two teams fighting tooth and nail, and that's what makes sports fun. That's where sports become different, is when you have those. You know, if you can just say, okay, that team played harder than that team, well, yeah, that's those, teams. You
those
know,
almost
team
that come down.
As hard, is probably going
to
lose.
And those almost come down to who has the ball last. It's like those Manning-Brady games. It's like whoever has the ball last. Great. It's not like the other team didn't play well, you know?
Those are the ones you remember, right? Those are the fun ones. And that's why we appreciate this series so much, because that's a non-negotiable in this series if you want to have a prayer to win.
Well, Coach, I know you're down in the bubble in Orlando, but big news back up here yesterday was Coach Belichick named Scott Zolak as the fourth-string emergency quarterback for the season.
Really?
Yeah.
How often has the fourth-string emergency quarterback gotten in?
Never.
Well, COVID. You know, I mean, you got to have a guy on standby in case, you know, outbreak.
You just got to pay me more just to sit there and just, you know, sort of don't touch anybody. You know?
Are you kind of like the, like in hockey when they have the extra goalie just sitting in the arena?
I'll simplify it for you. I'm your version of Scal. You know what I mean?
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.